This is Will's Band of the Week for November 19th, 2018. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the New York City Bureau.
I'm here.
He's here. He was very accommodating to the erratic scheduling this week. So, we had to skip a week, and we almost didn't make it this week. But here we are. We try to come back to the airwaves whenever we can, knowing the insatiable demand of the listeners. Right?
I'm sure that there are many people who are complaining right now, probably by email and on Twitter, saying, where's the podcast?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do while I'm cooking and washing dishes?
Right. At a certain point, it would turn into anger, just out of control anger. There was a restaurant in my neighborhood that closed because it was supposed to be temporarily closed because the main street nearby here was under construction. And they put up on their website, we're going to close for remodeling. We thought this would be a good time since the construction is going on. We'll see you in June. I think they said that in May. And then July went by and August went by and they weren't open. And then I looked at their Facebook page because I was trying to see, are they actually going to open? And there's people, these angry people, just really pissed, like, why aren't you opening? So I think they just decided not to reopen. But they weren't very communicative about it. They just kind of just didn't. So you go to their website and it still says, we'll see you in June.
So, right. Yeah. Well, you know, in a way you can understand that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, it's a restaurant. They don't owe you anything.
Right,
really.
Exactly. They're not open. You just don't go. But I think if our podcast did that, we'd get some extremely angry responses because we're such an integral part of everybody's life. Not really. I know, not really.
Well, you could argue, though, that when you say of the week in your title.
Yeah, it's a promise.
There's an implicit promise there, and there might actually be some legal jeopardy that's associated with making that promise.
Yeah, that's a good point. So. We could get closed down, shut down permanently for misrepresentation. Yeah.
Well, we could get sued for the sum of $0.
Exactly.
That's what we could get.
Right. $0, they could demand an apology, though, as part of the settlement to avoid a jury trial. Yep. Yeah. Well, let's see. It's been so long now since I've played did we ever even have, I think I had a really bad music news jingle, and then somebody told me that's so terrible you shouldn't use it. So I think we just say we have music news, right?
So, yes, I think so.
Here's my music news, and it's actually sort of fun. Two bands that have been featured on the podcast. One legendary is Proto Martyr,
yes.
And another one, Preoccupations.
Yes.
They are embarking on a tour together, and they're not coming to Wisconsin at all. But it seems like it was maybe 15 dates or so, a pretty decent sized tour. And to commemorate the tour, they put out a 7-inch record where they each recorded a song by the other band. And now the 7-inch record is, the songs are available online. At least one of them is. And it's pretty interesting, so I thought I'd maybe play a little bit of it. It's Preoccupations playing the song Pontiac 87 by Proto Martyr. And sounds very different, and here it is.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's interesting, I think.
Yeah.
It's a little dirgier, you know, a little, you know, different character than the Portmartyr version. So I think it's interesting. There's an, I can't remember the song that Portmartyr did that's a Preoccupation song, but it's interesting too. So pretty cool, right? That's what bands should do. Like when they tour together, they should each play one song of the other band.
You know how when bands are touring together, at the end of the night, the lead band has to say something. They have this obligatory line, like, you know, thank you to so-and-so and so-and-so for opening for us. You know, aren't they great? Aren't they the greatest in the world? Give it up for them. And I always wonder, well, is that sincere or, you know, are they just saying that because they have to say it? In this case, we know it's absolutely sincere. These guys love each other.
Yeah, they wouldn't have gone to the trouble to record a double 7-inch single otherwise, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. All right, cool. So that was good. I thought that was kind of cool. So that counts as music news. All right, now this is going to be exciting.
I'm ready.
So the word is, Craig took New York City by storm, and you were able to meet up for just part of the storm, right?
I got a mere glimpse of the storm. I believe he was in the city for a week, and I believe he went to 5 concerts.
That's pretty impressive.
I know he saw Beach Fossils. He was going to hear a band called Sabak, and we went together to hear Twilight Sad.
The Twilight Sad.
But there are other bands in there that he also caught at least a portion of the evening. So it would require talking to Craig to get the full report.
Yeah, it's going to take a whole episode for that live report. There could just be a separate podcast called Craig's Live Report of the Week, right?
Yes, and what I'm realizing is that I don't think that any of us have really plumbed the depths of how devoted his concert going is, and I'll give you an example. So he's talking about how many times he's seen the Twilight Sad in various places, and that the best one was when he saw them in a hotel bar, I believe it was in Malmo, Sweden.
Wow.
And what I realized as he's telling the story, though, is they had a mini tour of Scandinavia at one point, I don't know when, how many years ago this was, where they played 5 or 6 places in Scandinavia. But as he's telling the story, I'm realizing that he was at every one of those concerts. In other words, he basically went on tour with them. He followed them.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Denmark, to Sweden, to elsewhere in Sweden, to wherever. I mean, and I was just blown away by that. So,
yeah, well, I didn't realize that that he was that huge of a Twilight Sad fan. So what's the report from New York City?
Well, I guess the result would be that I am now not quite that much of a Twilight Sad fan, because I don't think anyone can reach the Craig levels that we're discussing here. But I too, you know, I hadn't really listened to them since the first or second album, so I was several records behind, and I also didn't realize exactly what they're like live. I mean, they're just they're a powerhouse live, just amazing. So,
do they have something?
Thumbs up for that one.
Do they have a new album coming out?
They have a new album that is out.
Oh,
I believe
that I haven't heard yet.
And they did basically a full sweep. They did songs from every record. So if you only know the older stuff, there was a lot of that. And they did one cover of a Frightened Rabbit song.
Oh, that's cool. That's got to do that if you're one of the Scotland bands, right?
Yeah. So it was a highly emotional point there in that song. And it was just, they're just very powerful live. That's all I can say.
Great.
Prepare to be swept away if you're going to go see them.
That's cool. Good to know. Very good. All right. I've got a live report too. And
okay.
So you know how, there's like a little story behind this. You know how we all have in our heads this list of venues all over the country, right? Because we read about indie bands and when they go on tour. And right. So there are all these places that you see listed over and over again that bands you like play at when they go to certain cities, right?
You mean like the Bluebird in Denver or the the Doug Fir in Portland, for example?
The Cat's Cradle in Carrboro, North Carolina, right? Everybody plays there. Everybody who's anybody. But funny that you said Doug Fir, because that's where I went. I went to the Doug Fir Lounge when I was in Portland.
Always wanted to go there.
And I read a lot about it, and I thought, I really want to see this venue. And there was a bill featuring a band that I think I had just barely heard of. The headlining band was called Acid Dad. And then the second band was called Malt Lizard. And I wasn't very familiar with them, and or the third band, a Portland band called Rilla. So I thought, well, why not? It was $10 or $12 was not too much to invest. So I went and I just watched Rilla. And they were really good, and the venue's great. It is a really, really good venue. It's in the basement, and the layout is just perfect for the, you know, good sight lines, and it's great. So I was really glad to have gone there, and I definitely recommend Rilla. I think they only have, I think they have one or two cassette releases, and they have probably some songs online, but it's R-I-L-L-A, and I think there's a different Rilla that's hip-hop or something. So this is five women from, wait, maybe it was four. Four women from Portland, and it started out, they started their set with sort of this goofy, surfy sounding song, and then from there it turned a little darker, and it was just really cool. So I think this is a band on the upswing, and we're going to hear more from them. So definitely recommend Rilla. I probably could play a piece. Nicholas would do that, right? He would definitely be playing. Here, hold on a second. Now, I had a video that I took, like the 30-second video of Rilla, but the sound quality is not that good, so I'm not going to play it. You just find Rilla, and I think they're worthy. So that was a worthwhile thing to do. Then I saw about a song or so of Malt Lizard, and it was two guys and the you know, drummer and a guitar player, but the guitar guy had all kinds of pedals and all kinds of stuff, you know, and he was making some cool sounds, and they were actually pretty good. Malt Lizard. Sorry, Acid Dad. I didn't stay for Acid Dad.
Yeah. Well, in terms of Rilla, I think you've reached a new level of cutting edge because, according to my streaming service here, they have 17 monthly listeners. And that might be the smallest number I've ever seen in that category.
That's great. Okay. So maybe we can actually have an effect.
When we first talked about Lexi, I think they had like 300, and I thought that was small. But 17? 17? I mean, just the band members alone and their immediate family is more than 17, right?
So, yeah. Yeah, you'd think so.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, people.
So we are definitely exploring the frontiers.
Yeah. Check them out.
But you know, now that we've had a review of the Sylvie, right?
Right. Yep.
And we've had a review of Doug Fir.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, when I went with Craig, we actually went to a venue that was new to me, although he'd already been there earlier in the week, which is called Elsewhere.
Okay.
So I can give you a review of that, which is basically, it's okay.
All right. Gets the job done.
You know, it's a big barn kind of place, you know. Industrial looking, super industrial decor, high ceiling, not bad. Sound was good.
That's good.
We could just go on, you know, reviewing indie venues around the country.
Right.
Somebody, I know Jeremiah has given us a review of Meow Wolf.
Oh, right. Already, so. Yep. Somebody made a list because people love doing this now. It's like the latest thing in the internet, right? Top 20 music venues in the United States or something, right? I was just reading something like that, like 2 months ago. They had one of those Chicago, it was either Shuba's or the Empty Bottle. I always get those mixed up because I've never been to them. Probably if you've been to both of them, then they seem completely different. But one of those was on the list. But yeah, they're fun. They're arbitrary, but fun. So, all right, we should move on. We have bands to talk about. Let's talk about the legendary, not legendary, the new supergroup, Boy Genius. It's
yes,
a supergroup,
indeed.
Right? So this is another failure. They just played last night in Madison. I was not able to go. I had it under consideration, but then things did not work out. Now, they did not have this advertised as Boy Genius. The listing for the show just said Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed a listing for they had a Brooklyn concert, or two nights, actually. And I think the listing was Julian and Phoebe, and there was no mention of Lucy.
Was she not with them?
But if you looked it up as Boy Genius Tour, that date popped up anyway.
Interesting.
And I believe it was, in fact, the three of them. I believe that's the case.
She just didn't get put on the bill.
Is there some contractual thing with it? I don't know what it is, but if you see at least two of them listed, you know it's actually three.
There must be a lot of there's lawyers in the background working all each gig has to have a specific contract. Probably. Who plays what and all that, right? So I don't even know how they did it. I'm assuming that all three of them played a solo set, and then probably at the end they did the thing together, right? So this Boy Genius EP is just six songs. So, but they're part of the hot new alternative folk type stuff, right? Would we say that?
Indeed.
Yeah, and I'm still not very familiar with. I've listened to Lucy Dacus more than the other two. I kind of have a general favorable impression of all of them, but I haven't really listened a lot, I have to say. I think.
Well, actually, the first time that I saw Julian, which was at least 2 years ago, maybe more, the opener was Phoebe Bridgers. So they've known each other certainly for that long, and they actually sang together on that night. They did an Elliott Smith song together. So this thing has probably been percolating for some time.
Yeah, it seems like
it's my guess.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you make the first pick?
Well, I would say, six songs. It's he said as he tried to bring up the listing so he could talk about it. Six songs. There isn't a bad song on there. You could practically close your eyes and pick. But I won't close my eyes. I will pick number two because it's such a great song.
Me and My Dog. Boy Genius. I think I was reading that when they played their individual sets, not at the Madison show, but like one of them a week ago or something, that one of them played just solo with a guitar, and then the other one had a full band between the Julian Baker and Phoebe Bridgers. I can't remember which was which. So that's kind of interesting. Of course, I think they should all have a full band, but still, kind of cool.
Right.
Well,
every time that I've seen Julian, it's been it has been solo, and I keep expecting, you know, that to change, but I don't think that it has yet. So
maybe she does the solo, and Bridgers has a band.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was torn between that song and number three, Souvenir. So we'll play number three, Souvenir. Okay, since I don't know the answer, I'm going to quiz you. Which one of the three is singing that song?
Oh, I don't either.
See, now the problem is you can get it wrong, and then we lose all of our credibility, so it's probably better to say we don't know than to guess wrong, right?
Yeah, okay.
See, I would think that...
I guess, although I don't think it's Julian. But I'm not sure.
I don't think it's Lucy Dacus. So, big fans of any of these three should probably be able to identify them, right? So I guess I'm not quite in that category, but I think this is really pretty solid, pretty good.
Yeah, and it's only an EP.
Yeah.
Can only get better from here.
So let's play one more. What's that going to be?
All right, number four, and I know this is Julian Baker.
Stay Down.
Constantly repenting for a difficult mind. Push me down into the world.
That's it. Boy Genius.
Very cool drum thing happening now. Like that.
Yeah. And I like the sound of that guitar in that song, too. It's like a cool electric sound.
Yes.
So we've sampled...
I think we can say that that's actually Julian's guitar because it sounds so much like her the first record. But
cool.
Again, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So we've sampled half the EP. So there you go.
We have.
Check it out. So...
You'd probably be sued now just for that.
Probably. Yeah. All right, Boy Genius. All right, let's rock a little more now. I want to talk about Stove. So you might remember that we talked about Avlov about a month ago.
Yes.
And Avlov and Stove are almost the same band in the sense that the same guy is the singer-songwriter for both bands, a guy named Steve Hartlett. And right. I believe his brother is the drummer for Avlov, and he's got a different drummer in Stove. And I also think that there's another common member who plays bass in one of the bands and guitar in the other one. That was my recollection from my extensive music journalism. I remember them from both of their previous albums, and I remember thinking that Avlov was the wall of sound band, and Stove was a little more varied with a little bit more quieter stuff. Uh-huh. But it seems like with these two releases, it almost sounds like the same band. They're both very...
I was going to say, this one's very wall of sound.
Yeah, they're pretty much both wall of sound now. So,
right.
Steve Hartlett is kind of a... I think probably you'd maybe describe him as sort of a slacker guy. And he... I think he's a really good songwriter. So he's got a little bit of, Dinosaur Jr. bombast, but he's got a little bit of Malcolmus type slack mixed in there, I think. So
yep.
I'll see if people think that that's an accurate description. The new album by Stove, it's got a great title. It starts with an apostrophe. it's an apostrophe S favorite friend. So I suppose that it's supposed to be read Stove's favorite friend, but they made the title just the apostrophe S favorite friend. So yeah. So I'm going to pick a track to start with here. And it's going to be, I had to count, looks like number 7. It's called Mosquito. Stove. So as we were saying how it's really loud and bombastic, that's probably the least loud and bombastic song on the album. But cool, I think.
Well, it's very confusing biographically, though, because it seems like Stove was a band that he came up with after Avlov broke up, and then Avlov reformed, took some members from Stove, And now Stove has a second record. So it's kind of like this leapfrog game now.
Right.
One after the other.
Yeah.
With some overlapping members.
Right.
It's a little confusing.
Right. He's competing with himself.
Maybe, you know, if you go see them, Stove will open for Oblov and then it'll all become clear.
Yeah, they could do that. So
could definitely do that.
All right. Do you have a pick?
I was going to pick the next one. That's number 8, Liverwurst. A little more bombastic, I think.
Yeah, it's a good one, too. Stove. Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the Dinosaur Jr. there.
Yeah, and it's like I think we've still played like the slightly more sensitive songs. So
I guess so.
I've got one, we'll see. I think this one might have a little bit more of a wall, at least at the beginning. Number 3, Stiff Bones.
We'll be right back.
stove. I want to single out the drumming in that song. I think it's great. Drumming on the album overall is really good. Both bands, Stove and Avlov, have great drumming. So, in fact, I dug up an article where Steve Hartlett was interviewed, and they were like, how do you decide, if you write a song, should this be a Stove song or an Avlov song? And he said, well, I try to think about the drummer and what the drummer would play along with it, whether it would fit. So he's focused on the drummers, so that's cool. So there you go. Stove, check it out. Stove's favorite friend, either that or apostrophe S, favorite friend. So if you listed your albums in your digital collection in alphabetical order, would that be at the very beginning? It'd either be at the beginning or the end, right? Depending on how your program, alphabetizes that.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. It's the alphabet and then the numbers, and then after that comes the punctuation marks.
But who would do that, right? Do you ever, I don't remember music by the album title. I mean, it's always going to be by artist.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe some people are that way. Do you ever do that? You look at your list of music in song titles in alphabetical order. It gives you a little different perspective. So every time I plug my phone into the car and the car decides to, some car systems just decide to start playing your music. And yes. So it always plays the first alphabetized song.
An A song, exactly. Right. I had that experience.
Now
yes.
The song that I have, let's check this. Right now, the track that I have that it always plays, let's see, I got to pull this up the other way. It's always a song by the band Soak, which was one of my favorite albums of 2015. It's that young woman from Ireland, and she's got a new album coming out. I'm excited about it.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's a song on there called A Dream to Fly. So it's the letter A, so it always starts playing that song. It used to be it used to be A Punk by Vampire Weekend. So this is what happens when I plug...
This is an A dash, I believe, right?
Right, A dash punk. So you can decide whether this would be good or bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that song.
I think we can all testify that no matter what song it is, it would be annoying because it happens over and over again.
But that's the problem. You hear that again, and when you hear that and it's unwelcome, it's like,
right,
get that out of there.
Now, in my case, I'll tell you, it's a song called Abe Lincoln by American Aquarium. I don't know. They're kind of an alt-country.
Oh, okay. I don't have that one.
Okay. So the AB, that just happens to be... the very first alphabetically. So that comes up over and over again, yes.
Here's a good one. Very. ABC by the Pipettes. Did you ever listen to that album? The Pipettes album?
No.
2006? No. Yeah, it's like a contrived girl band. Super catchy. Really good album. We Are the Pipettes, it was called, from 2006. All right. We probably shouldn't go on too long here because I am going to have to edit this and it'll probably be a day late as it is. But you have one more band, so let's talk about Antarctico Vespucci.
Boy, do I have another band. I just happened to stumble upon these guys by accident. Here's the accident. I noticed in my Twitter stream, somebody had asked, they were in Philly, and the question was, I'm in Philly, are there any interesting concerts tonight? And someone else had answered with three suggestions, people who were playing in Philly. And you know how in Twitter, you can't actually tell sometimes what bands people are referring to because the Twitter name is slightly different than the band name?
Right. Yeah.
It's a play on the band name or it's a joke name or whatever, so you can't really tell. So you have to actually click on the Twitter name to see who they're talking about. For example, Soccer Mommy, the Twitter name is actually Soferella, which is the singer's name.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't know they were talking about Soccer Mommy unless you actually clicked on the Twitter name. Okay, so I click on so I'm looking at this weird Twitter name and I clicked on it, and here's this band, Antarctico Vespucci. And I thought, well, give it a try. Somebody thinks they're great. They're the one band to hear in Philly tonight if you have one band to hear. And I was absolutely knocked out immediately. So you just never know when you're going to discover something.
Right.
How are you going to discover something?
Yeah. So I've only listened to this a little bit, but not enough to make picks. So you're going to have to do the track selections.
Right. So the story of the band is you've got two guys who were in bands that were folding. This is in 2014. And one of them is Jeff Rosenstock, who I don't know if we've ever talked about him on the podcast. I have not listened to him, but I know that he is extremely popular in the indie universe.
Right. It's one of those indie rock names. I haven't listened much either, but he's highly regarded for sure.
Yes. So this was a side project with this other guy. And they did an EP and an album back in 2015. I don't know what's happened in between. You know, maybe they got busy with their, you know, certainly with solo stuff and whatnot. So they had an album back then, which is actually quite good, from 2015. And the new one is called Love in the Time of Email. And it's kind of a, you know, an album that's put together as a whole, because it starts with a song called, a little snippet song called Voicemail. And it ends with a song, another little snippet song called Email. And they're both kind of messages to a former lover or whatever. And in between, basically, I would say it's a concept album. It's a breakup album sort of in the modern era, in the modern technological space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is of a whole, but it's also like just a bunch of great songs, which is why I was listening.
Cool. So what do we start with?
Okay, so the first song that I would go with is number four.
That's Breathless on DVD.
Yep.
Haven't seen you in a long time. Are you still sitting at that booth at the Brooklyn Bowl with your long red coat and the tears welling in your eyes? Haven't seen you in a long time. Are you still 27 and mad at me, watching Breathless on DVD in the dead of winter? 2009. Why did I crumble?
Antarctico Vespucci.
Vespucci.
Yep.
So this is a band that brings up a new existential question, which is it possible to have too many hooks? Is it possible for a band to be too catchy?
Because
after a while, I feel like, oh my God, this is another one where you know what I mean? It's so catchy.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only problem that I would say they have. If that's your only problem, then you're doing really well.
All right, what are we playing next?
Speaking of hooks, actually, any song you pick is speaking of hooks. But how about number six?
So Vivid.
Yes.
Learning how to go on without you.
Yeah, that's a catchy one, too. It sounds like they had the guitar amp cranked pretty good on that, didn't it?
Definitely.
There was a, I think Grant had a pedal once that was called something like Broken Speaker. You know, where, like, if you engage the pedal, it just sounds like it's, like the amp has been just blown out. The speaker's just been blown.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like they used that.
Raw sound.
Or mixed it in a little bit, yeah. All right, this album is 13 songs and 36 minutes. So pretty concise, pretty good length. And we've got one more, so it's important. You've got to pick the last song that gets chosen.
Oh, well, this is a burden, but I think I'm going to go with number 8.
That would be All These Nights.
Yes.
If all these perfect lives run out, where will we stand? Will I be rendered insignificant? Will you still wanna be my friend? 'Cause if you don't, I understand eternally. Just know I'll always grab a hold of you if you reach out for me.
Yeah, another catchy one.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't have any other kind of song. It's kind of amazing because, you know, you get this hook, you get this you know, catchy chorus, and you think, oh, well, that's really good, you know? That's enough for one song. And then they come in with a bridge, and it's like a totally other hook. It's like you could have made 3 songs out of this material instead, you know? It's all in one. It's just pretty amazing.
Yeah, it seems in kind of good fun, too. Like, they seem like they're having fun. Did you ever go back and listen to any Jeff Rosenstock after listening to this?
I haven't yet.
I'm kind of curious.
Like that would be the next move, yeah.
Yeah, because I think he had an album this year that a whole bunch of people liked a lot. So, all right, that's greater than $0, no question about it. even though the listeners might have to wait another. It's either going to come out late in the evening or maybe a day late, maybe even 2 days late, but I doubt it. See what we can do.
Day late and $0 short.
$0 short. That's the thing. It's always $0 short. All right, let's sign off. Any final words before we sign off?
No, just stay warm and root for the Packers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's getting cold in this part of the country. That's for sure. So yeah, good advice. All right, we'll talk to everybody again next week. I hope with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.